वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम टेंथ कैंटो 80th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 42 तुष्टः अहम् भो द्विज श्रेष्ठा सत्यः सन्तु रतः छन्दांसि आयातयामनि भवन्तु इह परत्र च। तुष्टोऽहं भो द्विजश्रेष्ठा सत्या सन्तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च। तुष्टोऽहं भो द्विजश्रेष्ठा सत्या सन्तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च। तुष्टोऽहं भो द्विजश्रेष्ठा सत्या सन्तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च। सत्या सन्तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च। तुष्टोऽहं भो द्विजश्रेष्ठा सत्याहं तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च। तुष्टोऽहं भो द्विजश्रेष्ठा सत्या सन्तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च।
मताजि,
तुष्टोऽहं भो द्विजश्रेष्ठा सत्या सन्तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च। तुष्टोऽहं भो द्विजश्रेष्ठा सत्या सन्तु मनोरथः छन्दांसि आयातयामानि भवन्तु इह परत्र च।
तुष्टः सेटिस्फाइड अहम् आई एम भो माय डियर वन्स द्विज ऑफ ब्राह्मणास श्रेष्ठः बेस्ट सत्याः फुलफिल्ड सन्तु मेदेबि मनःरतः युअर डिजायर्स छन्दांसि वेदिक मंत्रास आयातयामानि नेवर ग्रोइंग ओल्ड
bhavantu, may they be, iha, in this world, paratra, in the next world, cha, and. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. You boys are first-class brahmanas and I am satisfied with you. May all your desires be fulfilled and may the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning for you in this world or the next. Cooked food left sitting for 3 hours is called yatayama, indicating that it has lost its taste. And similarly, if a devotee does not remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, the transcendental knowledge that once inspired him on the spiritual path will lose its taste or meaning for him. Thus, Sandipani Muni blesses his disciples that the Vedic mantras, which reveal the absolute truth, will never lose their meaning for them, but will remain ever fresh in their minds. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It is wonderful to be able to speak a few words on this esoteric topic of friendship between Krishna and Sudama. Cursed to die in 7 days, what is the prayer of Parikshit Maharaj as he encounters the exalted sages and brahmanas who have assembled on the banks of Ganga? He prays, Punascha bhuyat bhagavati anante ratihi pratangascha tadashrayeshu mahatsu yam yam upayami srushtim maitrastu sarvatra namodvijebhaya. So Parikshit Maharaj says, again, offering obeisances unto all you brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in this material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So Parikshit Maharaj is begging of the assembled sages that he wants 3 boons from them, which are that he will always be completely attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, that he will always have association of devotees, and that he should have friendly relations with all living beings. This has got to be our prayer also till our last breath. To survive and also to thrive in devotional service, in bhakti, we need friends who will spur us on, who will encourage us, who will correct us, who will love us, who will chastise us, but never give up on us. So we need such friends even in spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada is the well-wishing friend of all who take shelter of ISKCON. So, who sets the standards for the true, genuine friendship? Krishna himself. Yadyat acharati shreshto tattad eva itaro janaha sahayat pramanam kurute lokastatra anuvartante. So whatever action a great man performs, common man follows, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So Krishna himself sets the highest standards in everything that he does, especially even in this matter of friendship. How to be friendly? Krishna sets the highest standard. So, the pastime, this particular pastime, very beautifully described by Srila Sukadeva Goswami, is very, very inspiring, because it is the eternal bond of true and divine friendship between God himself, Krishna himself, and an ordinary personality like Sudama, ordinary Brahmana Sudama. So this is relationship between man and God, Atma and Paramatma, if you want to say. So this is therefore very, very inspiring chapter in this. Now, in the material world in which we are living, we normally have fair weather friends. Those who become your friends when you are, you know, enjoying prosperity, when you are having good time, they are called fair weather friends. Once bad times descend on you, they leave you and go away. These are fair weather friends. But some friendships, even in this material world, are very, very enduring. We have some wonderful examples of friendship which His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj had with Gary, for instance, over the years. So this is called an enduring friendship. What is an enduring friendship? That friendship which lasts for years together and which is sustained by love and true principles of friendship. That is an enduring friendship. So, in the material world we are living, once in a way they celebrate Friendship Day, but most of the time all the friendships that we encounter are of a very superficial nature. Sometimes we meet people in the train or in the bus while traveling, and we become very friendly with them, isn't it? At least for some time, 24 hours or whatever the journey time is, they become very friendly, we become friendly, we exchange, you know, our cards, we exchange, you know, telephone numbers, and then they give, and our friendship also ceases. These are very, very temporary friendship. Most of the relationships that we have in this world are ephemeral, they are of this nature, and therefore not really worth it. However, in the Vedic society, the system was that any student who wants to learn, whether it is Shastrajnan or whether it is Shastrajnan, he had to join a Gurukul under an established teacher, established Guru. And these students would join the Gurukul at a very young age. And they would grow to adulthood. They would become youth in that time, by the time they graduate from that particular institution. So this fostered real friendship amongst the students, because they have grown together. And they have grown together and they have served the spiritual master also together. So in this process, the friendships that get forged are very, very firm. They are of an enduring nature. They don't fizzle out so very easily. So this is what we learn. So today I propose to give you some examples of friendships which are there in the Shastras before coming to the verse itself. So, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. So people would go, anybody who had knowledge, people would go and, you know, serve him, actually render menial service to such a person, such a guru, and the guru would be pleased, and then he would give them the knowledge which they are seeking. So this has been the tradition in Vedic society. So, but there are some friendships which were formed even in Gurukul, which turn sour. After some time they sour. So we'll begin with the relationship that was there between Dronacharya and Drupada. Now, as all of us know, the Kuru princess and the Pandava princess, they trained under Dronacharya. They trained under Dronacharya. They acquired the knowledge of Shastra. They acquired the knowledge of Shastra both. They became Shastradnya as well as Shastradnya. And when their education was complete, there was time for all the students to leave the Gurukul. So, at that time, the custom is that the students who have benefited from the training under the Guru, they give Guru Dakshina to their teacher. So Dronacharya asked, when the students were about to leave, the students, you know, asked Dronacharya, please let us know what is your Guru Dakshina. And Dronacharya asked for a Guru Dakshina which was unusual, out of the, you know, world, so to say. He said to his students, all that you have to do is that you have to make King Drupada a prisoner and bring him in my presence. This is going to be your Guru Dakshina. Obviously, it's an unusual Guru Dakshina that the Guru is demanding. But nevertheless, the students have to give that Dakshina. So they were very, very anxious. They wanted to please the Guru. So first of all of them set out, the princes set out with their weapons and everything. And there were the Kuru princes as well as the Pandava princes. So the Kuru princes, they said that we will go ahead, you know, we will defeat Drupada and just, you know, bring him back as prisoner. So they wanted to take the lead. They wanted to be in the forefront. So they rushed. They rushed to the kingdom of Drupada, Panchala Desh. They rushed there, and when they rushed there with all their weapons, etc., they challenged Drupada. And Drupada came out. We will not go into the details. Mahabharata is all the details. So they come, when the war started, Drupada made mincemeat of all the Kauravas. They were all defeated very squarely. They had to literally run away from the battlefield, and they came back. So when they came back, Arjuna said that, you know, fighting is not just fighting with words. These Kauravas, you know, were just using bombastic words, but now, you know, they are defeated and they have come back. Now it is our turn to render service to our Guru. So Arjuna asked his eldest brother Yudhishthira Maharaj to stay with Dronacharya, and accompanied by Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, he left for the battlefield. And he went there. When he went to the battlefield, he fought so bravely with the help of, first of all, Bhima, you know, decimated many people with his mace. And then the Drupada army, when it attacked, Drupada himself thought it is now time for me to personally come to the battlefield. He came, and there was a big battle between Arjuna and Drupada. And eventually, Arjuna defeated Drupada. He actually chained him and brought him on his own chariot and brought him back to the place where Drona and Yudhishthira were standing. So at that point in time, Dronacharya couldn't help saying, he brought him there. Now before that, there is a background to this event. When Drupada and Dronacharya finished their education in Gurukul, at that time, Drupada had made very, very big, big promises to Dronacharya. He had said that when I inherit the kingdom of Panchala from my father, half of the kingdom I'll give it to you. This promise, this vow, he had taken and made that promise to Dronacharya. As destiny would have it, Drupada went on to become the king of Panchala, very strong king, very prosperous, whereas Dronacharya, a Brahmana, he was very, very poor, it was difficult to find even two square meals for Kripi, who was his wife. It was difficult for her to even arrange for two square meals a day. So they had real poverty. I remember when we were students, I remember reading a lesson in which one day Ashwatthama, Dronacharya's son, comes to Dronacharya and says, Father, I want to drink milk. I see everybody else drinking milk, but I don't get to drink milk. So it is said that at that time, Kripi took, you know, wheat flour and mixed it with little water, stirred it and gave it to Ashwatthama, said, this is your milk, drink it. So that was the state of poverty. So Dronacharya thought that my friend Drupada had made big promises while we were in Gurukula. Let me go to him and demand from him certain facilities. So Dronacharya went to Panchala Desh. And he went to Panchala Desh and he stood before Drupada and reminded him of his promise. Drupada by now had completely, you know, forgotten the promises that he had made. So Dronacharya said that you had promised me half your kingdom. So Drupada said, what nonsense. Friendship can always be between equals. It cannot be between a mighty king like me and a poverty-stricken brahmana like you. So how dare you, you know, how do you even think that I can be your friend? And then very contemptuously, he offered him, you know, some dakshina and said that, no, that's it. So Dronacharya couldn't take this insult. It was an insult for him. And he carried this feeling of vengeance, he carried this feeling of revenge in his heart. And he said that one day, you know, I'm going to teach Drupada lesson. The time was now. So the Pandava princes arrested Drupada. They brought him before Dronacharya. And Dronacharya said that, you were saying that there should be friendship between equals. Now you have nothing. I won your wealth, I won your kingdom. So how can there be no friendship between us according to your own standards? So at that time, Drupada actually had to hang his head in shame because he didn't know how to respond to this. But then Dronacharya said that, you know, the kingdom that you have given me, half of it I will give it to you. Because, you know, I still nurture some feelings of friendship with you. So I will give you half the kingdom. So you rule your half the kingdom and I will rule the rest. So this way, there was friendship that was made in the Gurukul and promises that were made, but promises that were not kept. So friendship which is based on selfishness or which is based on swartha, both are all arrogance or pride. Drupada exhibited pride and arrogance, whereas Dronacharya, though he was a brahmana, he exhibited, you know, some amount of greed, some amount of, you know, wanting power. So he exhibited that. So the friendship was doomed to failure. So this is one friendship. So there is, in Ramayana, there is a wonderful description of friendship between Dasharatha and Jatayu. All of us know about Jatayu. So there was friendship between Dasharatha and Jatayu. How did this friendship in actually take place? So Jatayu and Sampati were two, you know, massive giant eagles who always soared in the sky high. So Ramayana has a beautiful description of these two birds. So once it so happened that Ayodhya, there are many stories how both of them became friends. I will narrate one of them. So once it so happened that Ayodhya suffered a terrific drought. So Dasharatha Maharaj, as a king who loved his subjects like his own children, was very much concerned. He wanted this situation to be changed. So he consulted some astrologers, and astrologers said that Shani has Vakra Drishti on Ayodhya. You know, that is, his glance is not beneficial to Ayodhya. And therefore, you know, you are suffering this drought. There are no rains. There is nothing. So it is because of Shani. So in those days, there was interplanetary system. So Dasharatha thought that, you know, I will travel in my rath. In fact, the name Dasharatha comes from the fact that he could, you know, actually his ratha, he could take in 10 different directions at a time. That's why he's Dasharatha. So this Dasharatha, he went in a chariot. He wanted to go and meet Shani and actually personally request him to, you know, convert his Vakra Drishti into something beneficial, you know, Kupa Drishti. He wanted to go personally. And Shani happened to see Dashrath, you know, coming towards his planet. And he knew that if he cast his glance on Dashrath, Dashrath would be burnt to ashes. So he cast his glance on the Ratha, on the chariot. And as he cast his glance, the chariot burst into flames. Everything, you know, got burnt. And Dashrath, you know, started falling. He started falling from the sky. And it was then that Jatayu, who was there in the sky and who had observed all this, he caught hold of Dashrath. He saved Dashrath from a bad fall. And then Dashrath, you know, was miserable, of course. But Shani saw the effort that Dashrath had made for the welfare of his subject. And therefore, he said that he will take away his Vakra Drishti. So, he cast his Kripa Drishti on Ayodhya. And the drought conditions, you know, receded and everything became all right. From that day onwards, Dashrath and Jatayu became very close friends. It's an unusual description, unusual friendship between a man and a bird. But a very enduring relationship. The same Jatayu, when Ravana actually kidnapped Mother Sita in his aerial, in his aeroplanes, when he took her away, he kidnapped her. Sita was screaming for help, nobody to help. Lord Ram and Lakshman were not available to help Sita. So at that time, Dashrath happened to see this kidnapping. And at that time, Jatayu was not very young. He had become pretty old and had also become feeble. But still, he had that vigor. He wanted to save, you know, his friend's, you know, daughter-in-law, that is Sita, from Ravana. So he attacked Ravana while he was going, you know, in his chariot. And he attacked Ravana and gave him tough time, really. But eventually, what was to happen had happened. Jatayu, you know, was Ravana cut off his wings and then he started shedding blood and Jatayu fell down helplessly, waiting for Lord Ram to come so that he could tell him where Sita has been kidnapped. So after some time, Sita and Ram and Lakshman, looking for Sita, they came to the place where Jatayu was fully, you know, bathed in blood. He was waiting for Ram to give up his last breath. So Ram came there, recognized Jatayu as his father's friend. And then he took Jatayu virtually on his lap and he said, "You have given up your life for my sake. So I am grateful to you, intensely, immensely grateful to you." So he, somehow or the other, you know, soothed. And Lord Ram knew that Jatayu's end was near. So he actually, after Jatayu breathed his last, Lord Ram performed the Anteshti for Jatayu. This is something remarkable of Lord Ram. Very, very kind-hearted, very, very loving. He said, he's my father's friend. Therefore, I must give him the honor that I would have given to my own father. So he did perform the Anteshti for Jatayu. So this is an extraordinary and unusual tale of friendship between a man and a bird. Then we come to friendship between Ram and Sugriv. It's a famous story. Try to be brief. It so happened that Sugriv had taken shelter of Rishyamukha mountain because he was wanting to save himself from the anger of his elder brother Bali, who had threatened to kill him. Bali was an extremely powerful person. So Rishyamukha mountain was a mountain where it was like a haven, you know, for Sugriv, because Bali couldn't have come to that mountain because there was a curse from Matanga Rishi that if Bali comes to that mountain, he would die. So that was a safe haven for Sugriv. So Sugriv was on the Rishyamukha mountain and he was sitting with his ministers, which included Hanumanji. So he saw from a distance that Lord Ram and Lakshman, very powerfully built, brilliant, effulgent, walking down, you know, down the hill. They are walking slowly. They were looking for Sita. In fact, they were actually wanting to forge friendship with Sugriv. So they came there. So, but Sugriv was very much afraid. He thought that these are people who have been sent by Bali to kill me. So I must somehow or the other, you know, do something about it. So he requested Hanumanji. He said that, Hanumanji, will you please go and find out. I am sure these people have come to kill me. Hanumanji tried to reassure him. He said that we are safe here on this mountain. Nobody is going to kill you. But nevertheless, Hanumanji took the garb of a mendicant brahmana and jumped to that place. And then that was the first meeting between Lord Ram, Lakshman and Hanumanji. That was the meeting where the servant met his master, Ram. So the feelings of love and devotion welled up in the heart of Hanumanji as soon as he had the darshan of Prabhu Ramchandra. He offered his dandavats, offered his obeisances. Then he, in very beautiful language, he introduced himself to Ram and Lakshman. He said that he is a minister of Sugriv, and he said, he told in brief how Sugriv is in trouble because of his elder brother Vali. So when Ram heard the beautiful presentation of Hanuman, Ram told Lakshmanji, he said that, see how beautifully, how sweetly he has told us about whatever has happened to his master Sugriv. Surely this person is well versed in all the Vedas. He is well read. So Hanumanji was actually trained under Suryadeva himself. He was well versed in all the Upanishads. We normally think of him as a person who jumped from one place to other. But he was very learned, very intelligent, very brilliant in Shastra. So somehow or the other Prabhu Ram was impressed. So Hanumanji said that my master Sugriv needs your friendship. And I am willing to take you both. So he put Ram and Lakshman, I am cutting it short, on his shoulders and jumped up on the Rishyamukha mountain. And there he introduced both the brothers to Sugriv. And Sugriv, you know, said that, I need your friendship because I want to be saved from my elder brother Bali, who is hell bent upon killing me. So Ram said that, don't worry. And then Hanumanji said that, let there be friendship between the two of you. Let there be a pact to help each other. That was agreed upon. And it is described that Hanuman lit a fire. He sanctified the fire. And then Lord Ram and Sugriv, both of them held hands together. And then they circumambulated the sanctified fire. And then they promised that we will help each other. Lord Ram said that, don't you be worried about your elder brother Vali. And Sugriv said that, I will find Sita Devi wherever she is, whether she is in Patala Loka or whether she is, you know, in hidden somewhere in heaven, I will definitely find her. But first, please, you know, help me with my elder brother Vali. So Ram gave the promise that he will definitely protect Sugriv. It's a big story. So Vali was killed by Lord Ram by one of his arrows, and Angada was made the next regent, prince regent, and thereafter Sugriva was crowned the king of Kishkindha, from where he had run away and he was staying in Rishyamukha mountain. So this is Ram arranged this, and then Ram told Sugriv that, you please, next 4 months will be rainy season, so after the rains are over, you please send all your monkeys to find Sita and keep your promise. So Lord Ram kept his promise. He killed Vali. But 4 months passed, it was raining. And how did Sugriv reciprocate? He spent all his time in enjoyment with his wife Ruma, with other she monkeys, and he was just wallowing in enjoyment. Bhogeshwara prasaktanam taya apavruta chetasam. So one who is completely absorbed in sensual enjoyment, he loses the sense of direction. Vyasayatmika buddhi samadhavana vidyate. He loses his sense of direction, he loses everything, he loses his purpose. And Sugriva forgot everything. So 4 months got over. Meantime, Lord Ram was virtually pining for Sita. He called his brother Lakshman. He said that it seems that the monkey king has forgotten his promise. Months are passing by and nothing has happened. Sita is where she is and I am here pining for her. So this way, I don't think that he has any intention of, you know, looking for Sita. So as he said this, Lord Ram became angrier by the moment, you know. It is described in Valmiki Ramayana that his eyes became, you know, crimson, red with fury. Became very, very furious. And Lakshmana, as he was hearing Ram's, you know, distress, he became more angry, angrier. And then he said that I'll immediately go to Kishkindha. And, you know, I'll send this Sugriva to the abode of, you know, Yama. By this time, Ram's anger had already, you know, subsided. He told Lakshman, don't be hasty, don't be angry. Adopt a conciliatory approach. Adopt a conciliatory approach. And you go to Kishkindha, remind Sugriva of what he has not done. In the meantime, Hanumanji, he also saw that Sugriva, his master, was wasting his time and not helping Lord Ram. So he also told Sugriji that you do something. You had promised to find, you know, Sita. What have you done so far? You are wasting your time. So he also advised. And after some time, Sugriva did arrange to send messages to all the monkeys to collect. In the meantime, you know, Lakshman came furious to Kishkindha. He wanted to kill Sugriva. But as Sugriva used Bali's wife Tara, now who was his wife also, he told Tara that you please go and pacify Lakshman. He seems to be very angry. I will be a dead man. So Lakshmana, Tara, she tried to pacify Lakshman. She told him, see, for many years, you know, he has been deprived of sensual enjoyment. Therefore, you know, he is going through the sensual enjoyment. And, you know, it is quite normal. He's a monkey after all. He's done this. So please, don't get so angry. Forgive him. Huh? Forgive him for his, you know, omissions. You just forgive him. Then at that time, Lakshman said that he told Sugriv that if it is your intention not to meet Vali in the heavens, then please do something about, you know, the promise that you have kept. So Sugriva, by this time, completely alert, he said that he admitted he had wasted his time. So then he said that I would like to meet Lord Ram. So then a meeting was arranged between Lord Ram, and then all the monkeys were assembled. They were dispatched. Hanumanji found Mother Sita in Ashoka Garden, and then there was Rama Ravana Yuddha. Sita was retrieved. So this is a friendship where a pact was made of helping each other, but eventually it did not transpire at all. So this is relationship between Sugriva and Ram. But Sugriva thereafter never ever floundered. He made finding Sita the mission of his life, and he helped extensively during the war with Ravana. He went out of his way. He did his best to find Sita, and also in the war. So, the friendship between, coming to the main theme, friendship between Sudama and Lord Krishna is indeed on an ideal platform. Something which we cannot ever hope to, you know, imitate. We can't imitate. But Lord Ram established the highest principles of what a friendship should be between two individuals in his relationship with Sudama. If you have read so many verses before which describe in what way Lord Ram, you know, welcomed Sudama. Now, Sudama and Lord Ram, both of them also were Sudama and Shri Krishna, both of them also were in Gurukul, and they studied under Sandipani Muni. Now, Sandipani Muni, he had a beautiful ashram. The ashram still exists, by the way, in Ujjain. I have visited the place. It's a very tranquil and very peaceful cliff. So they both were trained, Sudama and Krishna were trained under Muni Sandipani, and there, living in Gurukul, they became a part of Sandipani's family, so to say, and they would assist Guru Patni in getting, you know, firewood for sacrifice and doing different menial tasks. And both the Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna and Sudama, they became very, very friendly. They loved each other. They became very friendly, and together they served Lord Sandipani Muni to the best of their abilities. And the narration is that both of them were going, doing everything that was required to be done for the household, especially to please the Guru. And it so happened that one day both of them, you know, set out to collect firewood. They came to the forest, and when they came to the forest, suddenly there was a thunder storm, started raining very heavily, and the entire, you know, they collected the firewood. That was the first thing that they did. They collected the firewood, and then they found that everything had become pitch dark. What are they supposed to do now? Pitch dark. They became overwhelmed by the darkness and by all the water that had accumulated wherever they were walking. So whole night, nobody could come to save them, nor could they go back to the ashram. They were in a helpless situation. But they spent time happily talking to each other and discussing so many topics. And then the next day morning, Sandipani Muni, he came searching for his disciples. He came searching for the disciples who had spent the whole night in service of their guru. Now this is something extraordinary. Krishna is setting the highest standard of how to serve one's guru. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Seva. So he is willing to do all kinds of menial service and whole night to spend during this storm was not a joke, but nevertheless they did it. Next day morning, Sandipani came with some other disciples to the place where Krishna and Sudama were found. So then they say, Tushtoham Dvijashreshta Satyaha Santu Manorata. So the Guru, when he is pleased, you know, he comes out with benedictions. He comes out with benedictions, full-throated benedictions. And this is spontaneous benediction. So when the Guru is pleased with the Shishya and offers him benediction, that is the most wonderful thing that can happen to any disciple. So these disciples were blessed. He said that you two boys are first-class brahmanas, and I am satisfied with you. She said that earlier he said that you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dedicated to me that you completely disregarded your own comfort. So this is something extraordinary that you have done, and therefore, you know, I am very pleased. Say, may all your desires be fulfilled. May the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning for you, and in this world or the next. In the purport it has been described that if a devotee does not remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, the transcendental knowledge that once inspired him on the spiritual path will lose its taste or meaning for him. So the comparison is made to ayata yamani. That means, you know, food which becomes stale. If you keep food for some time, over a period of time, it becomes stale. Therefore, we are not supposed to be eating stale food. So, he said that similarly, whatever spiritual knowledge that we have acquired, if we don't use it in Krishna consciousness, over a period of time, that knowledge, you know, will go away. It will go away. So, time is a very powerful influence on everyone. So, he says that over a period of time, everything will be lost. whatever we have acquired will be lost. So therefore, whatever things that we have learned from our Guru, this is what Srila Prabhupada told us, that whatever little bit of Krishna consciousness that you have acquired, try to share with others. So when you share it with others, it will remain with you. It will remain with you. It will not become stale or it will not become lost to share with them. So here he is giving a benediction to his beloved disciples, that whatever you have knowledge you have acquired, let that remain with you. So this is a wonderful benediction. Of course, Krishna himself is the fountainhead of all knowledge. So the benediction is valid for Sudama, not so much for Krishna. But nevertheless, the Guru gave his benediction. So this is something which we need to appreciate very much, that when we serve our spiritual master and when we are successful in pleasing him, Guru can give us benediction, which is something eternal, which will last forever in our lives. It will remain with us. But if we somehow or other displease the Guru, then the reverse can happen. We have a glaring example in Karna. Karna went to Parshuram, and when Parshuram asked him, "Who are you?" he said that "I am a Brahmana." He told a lie because he wanted to acquire some knowledge about a divine weapon from Parshuram. So he told a lie, and eventually when it was found out that Karna had told a lie, it's a long story, I won't go into it. So when it was found out that Karna had told a lie, Parshuram said that the knowledge that you have acquired from me, the Shastra, Vidya, which you have acquired from me, that knowledge will desert you when you need it critically. And this is exactly what happened. So in the war between Arjuna and Krishna, when Karna was on the ground, his wheel got stuck in the mud, and he was desperate to come out. And at that time, he somehow or the other wanted to remember the knowledge, of the weapon that Parshuram had given, but that knowledge deserted him because he had told a lie and displeased his spiritual master. So, yasya prasadat bhagvat prasado, yasya aprasadat nagati kutobi. So, Karna fits into the latter part of the statement. So, our only hope, our only prayer should be that somehow or the other, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of spiritual master, we are on this path of Krishna consciousness. We should somehow or the other, practice it in such a way that our spiritual master will be pleased with us and will bless us to remain Krishna conscious till our last breath. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. Shri Bhagavat Puranam ki